talked about that the action of the book of Revelation starts in chapter 6. The first thing that happens is that there's little horses that are let out of the stable. We have first the white horse. There's a man sitting on him, and the man has a crown, but it's not diadem, it's Stephanos, which means it's just a crown or the idea of success from an earthly endeavor. He's got a bow but no arrow. This is the Antichrist. This is your ideas. Instead of coming and seeing and hearing whatever the mystery of God is at that moment for you, you have an idea. So that idea is the first white horse. It's immediately followed by the red horse. And now the man on the red horse has, it says in the scriptures, a great sword, but it isn't really. It's the Greek word makarios. And it's an assassin's dagger. And the idea is, after you have an idea, then that idea becomes your agenda, and you will stab, murder anyone that gets in your way. Then the next horse is the famine. You always promise success, but it always creates famine. And finally, the last horse is the pale horse, and that's death or leprosy. So that the idea of every idea that you can possibly have goes from the white horse unto death and leprosy. Instead of the whole book of Revelation is come see. And this is an antithesis of everything in the world, and everything. Everything else is come and do. And the idea of doing something about anything is the first horse. The first horse is let out. Now, some of you, you've done nothing but let stables of horses out your entire life. You know nothing about waiting or coming and seeing, because the whole socioeconomic, political, educational system that we live in, and all our ideas, our entire mind has been established to come and do instead of come and see. That's why I've always said that every idea, every invention, everything that has changed really since the day of Christ is something to cause us to flee from the revelation of Christ. Because everything that we, if you think about it, if you need to do something, then it isn't finished. Now, if you can see this, you can finally enter the rest. You can rest under the altar, because you were slain for the word of God and for your testimony, and you love not your life unto death, and you rest for a while under the altar. But if you can't, and you're the one that's shedding the blood all over the earth. The blood that is so awesome, so the amount of blood that each one of us has shed is beyond comprehension. And when you combine it with the blood of all the human race, it's the entire blood covers the earth. Does anybody understand me? Who could think that instead of doing, it's come and see? Who could possibly conceive of that except the Holy Spirit? Because that's the only way that you can say that Jesus is Lord. You got to come and do, then Jesus isn't Lord, because it isn't finished. Everybody comprehend this?
I know we talked about one year of all the dead bodies we ever, you know, and it's like that, the vision of that
makes
it just all came back to me right then when you were talking.
Yeah, it like makes the mass murderers seem like Ned had the first grade or first reader.
Like, it's though I thought I even had some control over the horse, but I don't.
the whole of the Purim is this idea that everything in the world is upside down. Everything is not what it seems to be. And it's just like everything in the spirit is it's opposite of what everything we think it is. Who could conceive that God uses the offscouring of the earth? They are the ones that are they own all things and everything exists for them. Instead of the people that think they're in control. Instead, Haman is the hero because he's the one that caused Israel to come out of their commingling with society. That's why on that feast we drink sufficient wine so we can no longer know the difference between blessed be Mordecai, or the type of Christ, and cursed be Haman. In other words, we can say and look wherever we see that we've spewn out the knowledge of the tree of the fruit of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. Now everything we do is come and see the finished work of Christ instead of doing anything. If you can possibly grab onto this for just a second, then your obedience is fulfilled. And then you are empowered from that moment forward to go to war with the horse. You can just shoot the son of a bitch or lock him in the stable. But the horses never go out alone. If you let one out, then the three following must come out. It has to happen. Okay? Gary? Yeah. I saw you before you peeked. Gary?
We had this conversation.
Gary? What's going on? I can feel the horses rumbling. Why don't you come and think not about the horses but about the finishedness of God? By one offering you've been perfected forever. Can you believe that for a minute? Alright. That's the introduction. Let's go back to Revelation 6 now.
We're all there.
I'm proud of you. So all of the horses were the fourth seal. Right? Was that right? Yeah, the fourth. No. No, anyway. The fourth seal is the horses, yeah. And then when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, for the testimony which they held. Now that's not just the people that have physically died, that's you and I that have picked up the cross and presented ourselves as a living sacrifice. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" And white robes were given every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest for a little season, until our fellow servants also, their brethren, that should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. That's all we're doing. We're waiting for the work of the cross to be completed so that all of the body of Christ, all of the chosen, are resting under the altar. That's the only thing you have to do is to rest. Now, who could believe that? How many of you have been deceived this morning already by thinking there's something to do? Instead of coming and seeing. If you disagree with me, please, let's contend with me a minute. You got something that you... Don't you see, the only safe place is under the altar, at rest. Doesn't matter what anything looks like or seems to be. But every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. The word killed there is not the word meaning murdered. It means, it's the word that means that they were sacrificed. It's the sacrificial offering of yourself, what you do when you present yourself as a living offering, as a living sacrifice. Don't you understand? You present yourself as a living sacrifice that you might prove or demonstrate what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So that your idea of destiny and what you will do and what you will be becomes apparent, not only to you, but it demonstrates it. You've proven what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that manifestation will be revealed in you when you stop doing. When you rest for a season. Thing there is from the eyes of God, especially for us here, because we've heard we have no excuse. To see somebody that's not at rest, that's here, that's heard this preaching and that's been delivered into the fullness of this gospel, I can't believe you could not be at rest. It's beyond my comprehension. What more could he have done? Everything is finished. Everything is completed. You've been given a place and a mystery, and it's unto you that is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Oh no, I'm going to reject that so I can sell my birthright. What are you selling your birthright for today? Got some little plan that's worth it? Esau sold his for a pot of porridge. Beans, the most worthless thing. What are you selling yours for? How many times today will you sell your birthright? God help you. The only reason you can do that is because you don't know the fear of God. If you don't know the fear of God, then this is just an exercise in some philosophical discussion or psychological apparatus for to think about, instead of what it is to live it, to be it. So you'll see whether or not you will continue with him in his task, which he's already completed, or are you thinking something is going on with you? I've got to deal with this, and it's so confusing, and I've been working on this, and this has been working on me. Well, you dumbass, hide under the altar. Probably lucky that I'm not well enough to do your first fruits this year. I have no patience for those of you that are not at rest. I'm not talking about some rest that comes because you play a psychological game with your mind. I'm talking about the rest that nothing in the universe, not the world, the devil, or the flesh can touch you. That's why, if you don't know it by now, I have prayed that the world, the devil, and the flesh take their best shot on us. fortunately, my prayer was answered with me. That's what this body is about. It's the challenge to the world, the devil, and the flesh to take your best shot. Harry used to call it full contact Christianity.
Before he passed on.
Before he passed on.
He sit right over there.
You younger kids didn't know Harry. Anybody have any response to this?
Yeah, I mean, resting under that altar is it's like the greatest gift that we could ever understand. We all think that same reason not to be under there. Insane.
Well, it's especially insane. I mean, you can go out in the world and you can see it every day. I mean, it's nothing, but that's all there is out there. But for you to not be at rest, All right, you ready to open the sixth seal? Let's see what the sixth seal is about. What are you laughing at?
I don't know.
We don't know what the sixth seal is.
I don't know if I'm ready to open that seal or not.
You're already, because I'm about to open
it.
You open these seals, by the way. The seals are opened in the book of Revelation by understanding. That's why 2 Thessalonians, it says that this day cannot come until a man of sin, the son of perdition, is revealed. Well, the man of sin, the son of perdition, has been revealed, so the day can come any second. Who is the man of sin, the son of perdition? You are. You've been revealed. You've been exposed. Your facade and your mask is off, just like Jacob. You finally have to admit who you are. And only then can you find peace under the cross, under the altar, after you've accepted the cross. But if you're still struggling with your own identity, then you're a fool. I think we should wait until tomorrow, the next day, to open the sixth seal, because the sixth seal is scarier than any of them. He's been sitting there. Look at that. He's got that proud of himself look. He's getting it. He's learning it from Joyce Anna. That's the problem here. Talk to me. When the next seal is opened, the King James translated said as an earthquake, but that's not, it's seismos, which just means a violent shaking. And that's what I pray is about to happen to each one of you, a violent shaking, so that which cannot be shaken remains, and anything which can be shaken is removed. And that's what happens in the opening of the sixth seal. Think on these things. If you don't have anybody, want to talk?
When John talked about running in the altar, that's the only place I can think.
Gary?
Pandora's box.
Huh?
That Pandora's box, the table, whatever it was, of his life. You open it and everything comes out.
Can't close it.
Can't get
stuff back in. Living life like the remedy to Pandora's box.
Can you see that every idea that you have is an idol? And again, the only time Israel was allowed the idea of mocking was about idolatry. And so when I make fun of your ideas, which I have for some of you for about 30 years, you can understand why. Because it is so, the idea of humor or making fun of an idea or of an idol is far more dangerous to the idol than anything in the universe. First of all, what it will do, it will cause an instant response that you will feel like you must defend it, or else you'll be able to laugh at it.
Yeah, and we've seen this response over the years. Like, if you make fun of the idol, and then the person sees it. But if they get all huffy and defensive, you know, you're laughing at me, you're making fun of me, they always put it on themselves, then, you know, that idol obviously has huge power.
Some of you, you know, I know I've never made fun of any of you, but what?
Maybe not today.
Well, I made fun of the guy that used to be here, Harry. I made fun of him a lot. But
you know, I heard he was thinking that today the Levites had to stay off because of the federal holiday.
That's
really at rest. Take a holiday.
Hey, if you give us a day off, we'd be at rest.
No, you wouldn't. You'd just figure out some way to get in trouble and ride some more of your little horsies around.
We'd be in anxiety about how to spend our time.
Kevin, any response? Mouth is shut up. Why doesn't somebody? That's what he used to do all the time, but he was serious.
You happy now?
No. I want to. The horses have to go out until the leprosy is fulfilled, until you're not clean from leprosy, until you see yourself as leprous from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. And in other words, you recognize you're the Antichrist. That's why the fourth horse is leprosy. The horse cannot travel alone, and it can't even be stopped. Once the horse goes out, it can't be stopped by repentance. It has to fulfill its trip. Right, they don't ever come out alone. Right, because you've stuck out for a minute from the onto the altar, and you've seen the consequences. In the world, this may take 20 years for the horses to run. Or 30 years in the world. But for us, you see the consequence of the horses hopefully instantly almost.
Yeah, that's what I was confused about.
Yeah.
It can happen, but you were saying repent, the horse is already completed.
Yeah, you can't repent until they've completed their run.
But it can happen.
Otherwise, you can just say you're sorry.
Yeah.
If you, I'm sorry I hurt you, or I'm sorry I did that, or...
This time you're undoing that
lash
of the wolf.
Right.
Don't let that horse out. Like, that's quick
repentance. Right. We certainly don't get any better. All we can do is we learn how to, we remember and see how to recognize, how to let those, keep those horses in the barn. But all of these images that, you know, the painters have done over the years of the four horsemen of the Acropolis, yeah.
The Acropolis.
Up there on Athens and that thing. But they are pretty, it's interesting to watch, see those, because
there are actually horses on the Acropolis, right?
Yeah, but that's not these.
That has nothing to do with
these. Apocalypse, the four horsemen of the Apocalypse. There's many, many painters have painted it. And they all, and it's wild, because the horses seem like these, you know, they're the right image. In other words, they're beastly characters. Okay. I won't be here tomorrow, so.
Oh yeah.
Find the hotel.
I'm supposed to stay at the Wyndham Hotel. I'll find out today.
Don't see you, mate.
No, this is a prayer breakfast with Eddie Bernice Johnson, and then the workshops afterward about affordable housing. So they want me to tell everybody how not to do it. Yeah, that's exactly it is. And in fact,
that'll be good.
You just give me your notes.
Huh? Yeah. It should be part of
the.
Well, we know what we can say. All right, anybody need anything or going anywhere? Or did I ever get the scripts from Dr. Winslow for Demerol? Because I'm out. Huh? Oh, not only the script, you got the stuff. Guess what? You want to hear something really sad?
Here comes Ray. No, I think it's a threat.
What's really sad is, Winslow said, if you use the new band, if it's bad, you use Demerol. But you never put use them together because they work against each other.
Oh.
So I've been using them together.
Oh.
You could be feeling a lot better.
I should be a lot better than I am.
You can't point them out. That's weird. That is weird.
When did you find this out?
When did I go see Winslow? When did we go see Winslow? Saturday. Yeah, now I feel pretty good, at least it's first.
And you're wondering, why isn't this helping?
All right. Somebody made a haul last night. There's tons of trash. You got the whole backyard filled with trash.
Yeah.
Who's going to help you?
With
Brad and Glenn?
Yeah.
All right. Take a big guy.
Somebody needs to move the big red out of the way.